everyone's an important piece of the puzzle and has a role to play. When you're on God's team, no one sits on the bench. On God's team, there is no bench. Yay! Welcome! I'm so excited to be with you all today. Today, obviously, is a special report. This is not the Wednesday 11-11 show, but there's so much going on in the world today that I wanted to bring on someone today that can kind of help us maneuver and walk through this 40-day period of time from April the 8th, 2024, that eclipse to Pentecost, because there's so much coming out. Obviously, we were all on alert. There is holidays, Hebrew holidays between these 2 days. So we're like, okay, God, what are we supposed to do? So today I am bringing on the author of a book that I absolutely love. You've heard me talk about it so many times. It's His Blood Speaks, Your Victory, The Devil's Defeat. And we're going to be talking about what His blood is doing during this time, as well as what we are doing partnering with God. So today's guest, she has served in ministry for more than 40 years as a pastor, as a preacher, as a teacher, and an overseer of prison ministry. She is definitely a general in God's army. She's the author of that book, His Blood Speaks. Welcome to the show, Ginger Ziegler. Yay!
Wow, that's an introduction. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you
so excited that you are joining us today. You know, obviously, the Flyover family has heard a lot about your book. I talk about you often, and I'm really excited about like conversations that we've had, things I've been reading in your book, and you keep kind of dialing in that this is the best time to be alive, that we were born for such a time as this. And I'm excited just to go through today, like, what we could be doing during this time. But I want to first start with the conversation that you had with God back in 1991 about the United States and where we are today.
Well, I was in Cape Town, South Africa, and I was ministering. I loved ministering in foreign fields, but he came to me in a very special way that day. And he said, I want you to go back to your own country, and I want you to help save it. And I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I said, but I love being out here. And that he said, no, he said, I'm going to show you things. So he overshadowed me in a way that I could see from 91 forward. And what he told me was, at that time, he said, when you get to be an old woman, which I don't know how he classifies that.
Right. What does that look like? I don't know.
But he said, these are the things that you'll see. And I said, well, what am I going to do about that? And so he told me, he said, use what's in your hand. And I said, well, I don't even know for sure what I got in my hand. And he said, how about your prayer group? And I've had a prayer group since I learned Kenneth Hagin Sr. in 1971. The Lord took me into heaven. I went before his throne in 71. And after that, I learned about Kenneth Hagin Sr. And so I learned about prayer. So I started prayer groups back in 71. So I knew what he was talking about. And so I came home. I told everybody, I said, this is what we're going to do. I said, I don't know for sure how we're going to do it. But he told me certain things would happen. And I had already had the blood book information on the inside of me from 1988. And it was in there, and he had already told me to start writing the book. And he said, I'll tell you when is the proper time for you to publish the book, because it's going to be needed when you see these things come to pass. And so when I came home, we've been doing prayers. I've had so many prayer groups, and it would just take forever. Only God could keep up with how many hours, days, weeks, months, and years we've actually prayed for the nation in intercession. And we did it all quietly, just us, you know, just different groups. I would have groups here, there, and the other place, and I would teach them things that I had learned from way back in 71. And so we began to see these things come to pass. And he told me that day, he said, I want you to be like Joshua and hold back the sun and the moon. And I said, well, I don't really understand what you're telling me. That was in 91, but I started studying out the sun and the moon, trying to find out what my assignment was about. And so I knew I was dealing with time. And so the enemy, the Antichrist, the Ancient of Times, which I've actually seen him, the Ancient of Times is always trying to change God's time clock, because he wants everyone to worship him. He wants to speed things up. He wants to change Daniel 7:25 in the Amplified. He thinks he can change time. So I began to realize, oh, how am I going to pray? I don't know exactly how to pray about time. So all these years have gone past. And then a couple of years ago, I knew that it was time to produce that book. And so that book is like an essence of from 1988 all the way to when I produced it, of my life, of how I've learned how to pray. And the what'll help people, what we've got to know today, we can say we know who we are in Christ, but we've got to have a reality of it. And the way we get a reality of it is get an understanding of exactly what the blood of Jesus Christ really and truly is, what it means to us, and how that is the one weapon that Satan can't do a thing about, and how to use that weapon effectively. So that's how the book came about. And that's where we are right now with this eclipse and all the things that are going on. It's obvious. Anybody that can even look up, you can see where we are right now in our nation. Our nation is extremely important because we're helping the whole world. And all the different countries I went to when I was traveling all those years, every place I would go to, they would tell me, no matter what country I was in, they would say, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you were doing. And they loved our nation because our nation had helped spread the gospel to the ends mm-hmm. of the earth. So we have to maintain our freedom. I mean, maintain it.
They're depending right now, on us, right? Other countries are. That's why we keep hearing about, like, you know, we're praying for your country. If the United States falls, we all fall.
Yes, it's amazing. And, you know, I was just surprised when I went to these various countries and they would say how much they were fasting and praying and fasting and praying and fasting for our country. And I really didn't have a grasp of it back in, you know, the late 80s and the 90s like I have now. But that's where we are right now. We're in a critical time right this minute. When this eclipse happened, then we started studying. I did, and all my friends were helping me. They, you know, they do research and stuff, and we begin to see we're right at it. And the different prophets have been proving it by what they're saying. So we've got to, God is telling us how to do it. He's amazing because the Lord will tell us things ahead of time, John 16:13. He wants us to know things. And then he will tell us, this is how you deal with those things. He never leaves us out in the cold where we don't know what's going to happen next. We have the Holy Spirit. If we're born again, we got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and the written word will tell us exactly what we need to know. And that's what this eclipse is all about, because there are many warning signs. People are having dreams. But we can change. Stacy, this is what is amazing to me, is God said, you don't have to just accept everything that the devil's handing out. Mm. I will tell you some things you can change, some things you can stop, and some things you can alter. Now, the reason it's different is because we're dealing with people's wills. We're dealing with circumstances, and we're dealing with things that's so embedded, it's going to take a while to get it. And I liken it to when I lived on a farm in Georgia when I was growing up. And so when we would plow a new field, it was a lot harder than plowing a field that we had already been in.
Sure.
We had to get all the rocks and the stumps. And it took a while to get it prepared to take the seed. So we've got a bunch of stuff embedded in our nation for decades that we shouldn't have let happen, that we did let happen. And I'm telling you what, I'm trying to get the church awake.
Yeah, it's important.
Come on, get out there and help me get it done.
You know, yeah, it's important because you were saying, I want to kind of dive into a couple of things. You were talking about fasting, you were talking about praying, you were talking about times when you were with your prayer group that it could be 24 hours that you guys had prayed, maybe a few hours. You couldn't even calculate how much time you all have prayed together, you know, since 1991 and even before, I guess, because you said you set some up in 71. Can you talk about that, like the time that you guys have put into it? And then what does that mean? Because you were even asking God, what does it mean to have to hold back the sun and moon like Joshua did with time? What does that look like?
Well, we had to learn, and I had to learn. So I started learning in 91 how to do it from the written word and from men and teachers and from prophets, but we would get together and what he would do, different groups at different times, and he would assign us, we would have an assignment for a particular thing that had to do with our nation. And then he would tell us what to do. And like when we were doing the 24-hour prayer, I know this, some people laugh about this, exactly how I did it. When I hear God say something, I just do it. And so he said, I want you to do a 24-hour prayer. I said, okay, how are we going to do it? And so he said, I want you to pray for 24 hours and tell everybody that comes, we're not praying about their needs. We're praying for this nation, and we're not talking. We're not preaching. We're not praying for each other. We're going to pray in tongues unless you pray the written word. And so I had 24 people that came. We did it more than one time. We did it several times. And I had people that believed me. They said, can you really pray for 24 hours? I said, well, the Holy Ghost can pray forever. I mean,
true.
Like eternal. Hello, anybody out there? You know, like, and so I let them have a bottle of water. And that was it. And so we literally prayed. But during those times, we had some supernatural intervention from God. One of those times, we knew ahead of time something was going to happen way back in 94. I knew ahead of time we wrote that prayer of agreement. In 93, a visitation from Satan came one night, and I knew what was, I just knew from all the praying, you just know things. And so we would know we need to stop this, or we need to change this, or hold this back. And we did it like in our secret prayer closet. We didn't go around announcing it to everybody and get on TV and all that stuff. We just like, we prayed and we prayed. And it was amazing how dedicated those men and women were to all those hours of praying. But we would do one assignment, then another assignment, another assignment. And we would pray until we knew. You know, the old-timey people used to call it praying through. But yep. We would pray until we would know that that was settled. And we might pray about the same thing for months on end. We might pray about it 10 times. We might pray. We did 21-day fast. We just did whatever God led us to do all during these years. But what came out of it, I started watching these hubs or prayer groups start popping up all over the place. And we were praying for people that would have that kind of dedication, like the Moravians did, where they prayed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for a solid, 100 years, I think. And so I wanted people that could know that if they could get in a place and pray, God would speak to them, and they could literally make something happen. And we learn how to make decrees. Am I talking too much?
No, you are doing amazing. This is exactly what I'm hoping for.
When we learn how to make decrees, then we learn how to work as far as we're concerned, God being the Ancient of Days. And with those decrees and time, we'll catch up with each other. And when they do, then we see the manifestations of our prayer. And that's why it takes a little bit longer sometimes to pray about different situations, because we don't know those hidden things, but God will start telling us about those hidden things. And so we have to, right now I can tell you, thus saith, we gotta make these decrees, and you gotta make them like you mean it too. And you gotta believe every word.
Yeah, your words are powerful, just like we were created in God's image, and he spoke the world into existence. And when we speak, we create the world around us. We are partnering with God. One thing that Colton had on there is when you go to gingerziegler.com, she has resources and decrees. So when you go to the right-hand side up there of her website, resources, she has all of these resources there. The bottom one is what Colton was showing there, blood decrees. And the significance of decreeing something, was you were talking, Ginger, it made me think of, if you remember a few months ago, the World Economic Forum actually brought a witch on stage, and they were talking about everything that she had gone through preparing for that event, and then she ended up blowing on the people there. But they were talking about her fasting, her only eating certain foods, all these different things. And I remember people saying, well, Christian community doesn't do that. Maybe not everybody does that, but there are people that are fasting, they are praying, just like we're hearing here from Ginger. We're not alone. It's not like, oh, the devil's beating us. That is not happening. And there is no fight between Satan and God. Satan was a created being. Satan was thrown out of heaven without God even leaving his throne. It's not a fight between darkness and light. When you turn on the light, the darkness flees. There's a picture of what was going on there. But I think a lot of people were discouraged thinking, oh, they've won. Nobody is doing that in the Christian community. And that's so wrong. That's not accurate.
Well, you know what? People just need to stand up, grow up, and mature. Come on. It's not going to be all of us. 120. God, Jesus said, hey, y'all, there's 500 of them. He said, you guys go up there and y'all wait. And so that didn't work out. 120 did, but look what happened to all of us now. All these 2,000, here we are. And so Gideon had three, started off with 20,000, ended up with 300. So it's God. And I'm not just wanting remnants, man. I want the whole nation. I want our whole nation to turn, bow their knee, and have the right kind of fear and reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I've seen him. And when you see him, your life changes. And that's what needs to happen.
Yes.
People don't know God. If everybody says. And so we don't have that in our nation. That is so sad to me. And it's not how you dress or where you go, or it's a condition of your heart. And so God's got people that are like that. And there are people that are so hidden. That's, you know, the new book I'm doing, I'm getting ready to do it. It's about those hidden faces that nobody even knows are there. Anna in the temple, there she was just praying and praying and praying. She was 84 years old. But she saw the manifestation of her prayers. Jesus came. And so there are people like that. And I'm telling you what Jesus said. The only reason what I'm doing works, he says, because I only do what I see the Father do. And I say what I hear the Father say. God has final word over the thing. If we just learn to do that, then we can make it happen.
That's exactly right. You know, you were talking about you know, holding back the sun and the moon, Joshua, and God actually, I don't know if he revealed to you hundreds and hundreds of events, but things that were going to happen like 9/11, that through your prayer group, you all were able to either change, stop, or alter the outcome of it. Can you talk about that?
Yes. He would give us, like I said, certain assignments, and I've never told this publicly, but I don't know how much to say about this, but anyway, when Hussein was doing this stuff, we had an assignment about him. And so we went in, there was a bunch of us, and we went in one day to pray over that. But when we got there, the Lord told us, I don't know how much to say, but anyway, the Lord showed us, I saw where he was. I actually could, and this is long before they found him. I saw where he was and the men, the whole thing. But he wanted us to actually pray that he would not be killed at that time when they found him, that he would be given the opportunity one more time. God is not willing that any should perish. And so we prayed for what we prayed out, what we saw about his capture. And it was a while before it actually happened. Nobody even knew we were praying that. And then when it came out on the news, it was exactly what we had prayed, what we had seen. And it was amazing. So, you know, I don't share all those things, but God gives us assignments and he knows the whole thing behind it. Now, Hussein, you know, I wasn't just overly excited about.
Right.
You know, I was aggravated at him, to say the least. But anyway, but God knows things that we don't know. And so we can pray ahead. And we can alter things. Elisha, he would get in there in his bedchamber and he'd start praying. And he'd say, all right, y'all pay attention because the king of Syria, he's coming over here. And in Texas, we say, go over there and cut him off at the pass.
Yep.
And so they would know ahead of time. And so that's how you need to learn to pray like that. So many times we can change things. And just like the 2020 election, before that happened, God showed us things. We knew what was coming down the pike. And so we said, Lord, what can we change about that? And what can we not change? What can we alter? If we can't stop things that are happening, how can we alter it? And the good thing is, it may not look like it at the time, but God can work out good out of the worst situation. I mean, he can take the biggest mess and he can turn it around to where it will turn out to be good. And I think the end of this, where we're headed right now, if we do this 40 days that we're in this window, we really repent. I'm talking about real repentance. And repentance is not acting like a nut, you know, sackcloth and ashes like they did in the Old Testament. But repentance is having a heart that is tender toward God and a heart that just wants to, like Jesus, just talk to my face and I'll do whatever you want me to do, how you want me to do it. And we have real repentance. I really think this whole nation can turn around and it can be a brand new nation like we've never known, even from our inception. I think it can turn that way. Providing this repentance goes, mm-hmm. But God's asking us, you know, we talked about the eclipse. Remember you sent me that picture and I knew what was happening. Things were, you know, signals. God gives you signals. If you're paying attention, gives you signals. And we know where we are in this timing. And I'm looking for Pentecost. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for outpouring of Acts 4:33, you know, signs, wonders, miracles.
Yes.
And no need among them. And so, but we've got to get some things turned around. So he's dealing with the church. That means people that are actually born again, people that are born again, but they're not necessarily living for the Lord. He wants that change. And even people like, you know, that are, their whole life is Jesus 24/7. He's still asking us to change our mind, to do things differently. He's changing the whole church. The whole church has changed. Everything mm-hmm. has changed in these last 3.5 years. And so he's asking us to change. But then he's talking to the people that need to be born again, too. And I believe God is really doing this. We're seeing revival break out mm-hmm. in these colleges and places where Dutch Sheets talked about. It's just beginning.
Yes.
What would it be like if everybody got turned on to Jesus? And Bill Hammond wrote a book way back in the 80s, An All Saints Revival. And he talked about everybody. It wasn't going to be the guy behind the pulpit. It was going to be everybody. And we're going to see people raised from the dead and people healed and people born again. And just, it'd be all of us just talking, you know. And Wigglesworth had that. He saw that last revival and he gave to Lester Sumrall. And what would it be like if everywhere we went, you know, the grocery store, wherever we went, all of a sudden the power of God manifests and you don't even have to say nothing. People just all of a sudden, God, you
know. That is like so true.
In some of our colleges, that's what we're looking for. That's why we want to repent. We want to change our mind about what we've been thinking and how we've been living and do things differently so we can hook up with that power instead of this other thing. And I, going back to the time, God is wanting now during this time, we have this repentance. He's promising, we're hearing these prophecies, that restoration, restitution, retribution is going to come mm-hmm. back. He restores the years the cankerworm is eaten. That's Joel 2 and Acts 2. And so we can have restoration, but we can have something brand new. That's what he's telling me. We got to start this whole thing brand new.
I love that. Can I go back? I have my notes, so we won't miss this whole part on the eclipse and the 40 days, because I really, obviously that's something I really want to focus on. But when you were talking earlier, and you were talking about Hussein, you were talking about almost a heart posture. You had to be careful on like the feelings that you had for him, like even bringing anger into the equation, because it kind of nullifies prayer. You have to be very careful even when you're doing that, and then being obedient. And even somebody that had done something so evil, God still wanted to give him another chance to accept him. There's always consequences for our actions, but God never wants there to be hell in the equation for us. And no matter what somebody's done, I think us kind of grasping that, it's interesting because in 2020, when everything was going down with President Trump and everything that we were seeing and more people were waking up, every time that I would see Nancy Pelosi on the television, I would feel really angry. It would actually change my state. Like I would have to say that I really disliked her a lot. And I had a lot of anger towards her. And God actually told me, I want you to start praying for Nancy Pelosi. And it's hard to dislike or hate someone that you're praying for. It's really interesting, yeah. You know, and I actually put her picture on my phone and I would look at it and I would pray for her, and everything changed for me. Obviously, there's still consequences for actions that people take. But when we have hate for somebody, it's hard for us to want them to be saved. It's hard for us to actually want their outcome to be different than it's going to be if they aren't a follower of Jesus Christ. And so it's interesting when you brought that up about Hussein, because it made me think of what God had me thinking, even with Nancy Pelosi, obviously completely different people. But, you know, it just made me kind of think of that. Our heart posture has to be coming from love, even when we do believe there are consequences for people's actions, that they should pay a price for things that they've done, but we don't want them to go to hell.
What? Like that day when I got ready to pray for him, I can tell you my heart wasn't right. I was mad and fire.
Yeah.
But when I bowed my head, the power of the Holy Spirit is absolutely amazing. The Holy Spirit came on me, and I have plenty of people at that prayer meeting that can tell you that this actually happened. I just fell out of my chair down on the floor, and I was in this deep travailing intercession. I was two gingers, and the other ginger was like inside. But man, I mean, that spirit man of mine was like in travail for this guy, and I was like, oh my gosh, what if, you know? But anyway, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not something we can put on. It's something we yield to. And when we yield to the Holy Spirit, it's amazing what he can do. That's called unconditional love. That's what God has. And so we don't really understand. I don't think we really comprehend justice and judgment.
Ooh, can you tell the difference between the two? Tell us the difference between the two.
Well, In the Old Testament, if you start in Genesis and you look up God's names, his different names mean different things. And so one of his names in Genesis is he's the Lord of the harvest, which we all know that he's the Lord of the harvest. That means now I got some land out here and I got a garden. So if I go outside and I dig up that garden and I plant tomatoes, I'm actually going to get tomatoes. I'm really going to get tomatoes.
Yep.
I'm not going to get corn. I'm going to get tomatoes. So he's the Lord of the harvest. If I plant tomatoes, I'm going to harvest tomatoes. What people don't understand about justice and judgment is inside the seed itself is what it produces. So when Jesus was talking to the disciples, they looked out there and he's trying to tell them, hey, the fields are white under harvest. And they went, but I see a bunch of tares out there. What do we need to do? We need to go out there and yank them up. And the Lord said, no, you don't need to do that. He said, just let the angels take care of that. He said, because they'll grow up together because an enemy has done this. Mm. An enemy came in the night and planted those. And so we began to see, wait a minute. And I don't know about y'all, but what I always pray, I said, Lord, I'm looking out there in the harvest. I just want to see wheat, but I think I see some tares. Could I borrow a couple of your angels and let's go out there? I want to get rid of. I said I want them burned, okay? Because that's repentance. We're looking back and we're saying, you know, I really messed up. I had a stinking attitude, or I popped off and said something I shouldn't have. And you know, then I'm asking. I said, God, I need those things rooted up, because when I'm planting that same garden, because I have it right out here next to my red barn. When I'm planting that same garden, when I look down there and I see this weed trying to kill my tomato plant, listen, I get rid of that weed. I go, you're not going to do that. I'm getting you out of there because I want tomatoes. I don't want weeds. So that's justice and judgment. And so when we see we planted seed, that the judgment is saying this will be the harvest, then we go back and we ask God to forgive us and help us. And there are consequences. I did prison ministry for 22 years. We ministered to tens of thousands of inmates, and some of them didn't get out and some of them did. And it just depended upon, but even there in that situation, they could still change their harvest by changing the seeds that they were planted while they were in there. Mm-hmm. And I just tell you a real quick story. In this one place, this one unit, the Lord told me, he said, well, I'm going to do a revival in that one. I said, okay. So I went down there and I was teaching them how to pray and all that stuff. And anyhow, a couple of them got really saved. I call it sanctified saved, and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And these same people that was never going to get out of prison unless God did a supernatural miracle. The next thing you know, listen, one lady, she was walking through the kitchen just praying in tongues, and the other ladies in the kitchen fell on the floor.
Wow.
The power of God inside the prison. They didn't get out, but they had a different harvest because they were planting different seeds.
That is amazing.
If you understand harvest and all that, and you don't get mad at God because you go like, God, we're, you know, you did this, you know, you brought this. No, like, come on, let's back it up. Let's take our responsibility, but let's be even, make sure we blame it on Satan.
There you go. Exactly.
That's what my book is about, blame it on Satan.
That's right. That is so good. Let's talk about, because you brought up these three things. I've talked about it quite a few times in the prophetic report, and I want to kind of go in just to make sure everybody understands the difference here. There's three different ways that we can be praying or anticipating for something to happen. If we see something, if there's a warning coming at us, which we're hearing quite a bit of warnings right now from the prophets, there's warnings coming at us. There's basically three things that we can do. We can pray for it to be stopped. We can pray for it to be changed. We can pray for it to be altered. And when I've explained this to people, a lot of times they ask, what's the difference between change and alter? What does that mean?
Well, first of all, let's back up a little bit, Stacy. We need to go to God and ask him, can this be changed? Can this be stopped?
That's good.
Get our orders from him first. Because Jesus only did what God told him to do, the Father.
Yep.
So that's where we start our prayer. So something can be changed. I mean, something being changed is as simple as like picking up one of these chairs and moving it from over here to over there. We just changed the way the living room looked. But altered is, instead of those chairs behind me being gray, I decided, well, I want them to be red. So we're going to take that cover off. We're going to alter it. Or maybe I don't like the way that it looks, so I'm going to make it into a rocking chair. It's still a chair, but I'm going to make it be something else. So we've got to see, but we got to go ask the Lord, what do you want to happen on this? I mean, he's the Father. He's the one that tells us what to do. We don't make our own decisions. We're asking him. He knows.
So good.
Stacy, he knows. We think we know stuff, man, but we got the Holy Spirit, but he knows the hidden stuff that we don't know. And he knows what's come down the pike 5 years from now. He knows what's around the corner. He knows what's going to be 50 years from now. He knows what's going to be 5 minutes from now that we don't know. And so we've got to ask him first. And then some things we can literally stop. And I'll just give you a real fast example. Back, my son is in his 50s now, but when he was 18, the Lord showed me beyond a shadow of a doubt he was going to have a car accident. And in the car accident, he was going to be killed. And a friend had a dream that backed that up. So I went to the Lord. I'm fasting in prayer. And I said, Jesus, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to do this? And so the Lord told me, he said, you can't change the car accident, but you can change the end result. I said, all right, so tell me how to do it. So I had crazy praying times. Man, I'm telling you, I couldn't hardly eat or sleep. And it went on for 9 months. It was a long time.
Wow.
And so the night, and I didn't even tell him. I was just praying over him. He was a kid. He was only 18. And so the night that the, quote, accident happened, we had detail. The friend had the dream. She had every single detail, a literal dream of this car accident, except in her dream, he died. Now, this is not going to be for everybody. I don't know. It's just me and my particular situation. But I was literally standing at the window and I was praying. I was praying so loud you could hear me blocks away. And finally, all of a sudden, the prayer just stopped. And so I went ahead and got in bed and I was just laying there trying to get myself together to go to sleep. And so John, my son, walked in. He says, gosh, Mom, He said, I thought you'd be up praying. I said, well, I have been praying. I just got in bed. And I said, what happened? He said, well, and then he told what happened. The dream that my friend had, the car accident happened verbatim. I mean, exactly. The car did end to end like this three times and ended up on a guardrail underneath one of our big freeways here, just hanging back and forth. But in the dream, he was killed, but I was in this deep travailing intercession. And so I said, what happened? He said, well, I was flying through the air. And he said, I just screamed out, Jesus, Jesus, save me. And he said, when the car got through going, he said it was like in slow motion. When the car got through going, he said, it all stopped. And he said, I just took my left foot and kicked the door open and undid my seatbelt and got out. And I
said,
oh my God. Are you like okay? And he had one little skin about this big on his shin. And I was like, oh my gosh. I said, John, I have something to tell you now. And he was completely okay. Everything happened except that I couldn't stop the car accident. But I was able to stop death.
Wow.
And sometimes we can alter things. The car costs us a bunch of money. I mean, gosh, it cost me and Big John a bunch. I wanted to beat the fire out of him after I found out it was okay. but
that is that's perfect example. It's a perfect example of understanding that. So when you can do that for your family, and it's asking God. Thank you so much for clarifying that. It's asking God, can it be stopped? Can it be changed? First. Can it be altered? You first go to Him on that. So when we're looking at our nation, let's go back to the eclipse. So 40 days between the eclipse, April 8th, and Pentecost. And, you know, hearing a lot of warning from the prophets of things that are coming. Obviously, Nineveh, we're hearing about that. Jonah, repent. And you kind of had started talking about it. You addressed who should be repenting. I want to talk about that. So the first thing is the body of Christ. So let's say somebody's like, man, you know, I live for Jesus. I've gotten rid of, you know, I don't lie. I don't steal. You know, I keep my 10 commandments. I do those things, you know, am I supposed to be repenting? What does that look like, Ginger?
Well, just like in my case, I asked the Lord, I said, okay, like I live in the straight lane. So like, tell me what I need to fix. And most of the time he tells me your attitude. Yes, sir. but he said, you need to understand the difference between when I want to do something brand new and when I want to renew something. And I was like, wow. And so I went all the way through Isaiah. I've preached out of Isaiah since 1981. Behold, I do a new thing. Before it springs forth, I tell you. And he said, you've been preaching that, but you didn't realize the depth of that. In me, I had to repent, change my mind. He said, I didn't say I'm going to renew anything. He said, I was talking to you about something new. And I was like, oh, yes, sir. Okay. So isn't that interesting?
Yes.
That was me personally. And so I think what has happened to us is we've done church as usual for all these years. Mm-hmm. And so he took me back. I've been through three revivals because of my age. And I went.
Nobody would ever believe
revival.
That.
I went through the tent revival. Well, you know, people were getting healed and all that under the tent in the 40s, the late 40s. And then we had the charismatic. So we changed and we did something brand new. Instead of going to a church with a steeple on it, we went to strip malls. And we were going to Lutheran churches and Episcopal churches on Friday night and singing with everybody. Well, we had never done that. We were in a denominational church. So that was new. So then we went from that to we did what we call the Word of Faith movement. So we went out of the strip mall. Then we ended up in these conventions. And I mean, I did those. Like you said, with your Bible 12 hours later.
Yep.
You know, you're still taking notes and you're buying every tape they got. This is back in
Say,
Joel. Buying every tape they got. And then you played the tape recorder all night long. You never slept because you're doing the Word 24/7. Then that began to change. The music has changed. And so God says, I am doing a new thing in the United States. And I want you and in the body of Christ. And I want you to start thinking new and think what you've already been through. So he said, you've never been in this revival that you're about to go in. So don't have any set. Oh, an angel just showed up. Don't have any set way that you think it ought to be. Let me show you the new instead of trying to fix the old.
Mm.
And so I was like, okay. So now that was for me. Now, other people in the body of Christ, new might be you start repairing your family relationships. You start, I don't know, maybe you're not going to go to college, but maybe God will say, no, I want you to go to college. I want you to go to Bible college instead of a regular secular college. He might be telling new things, or you're working for a company. He said, no, I want you to stop, and I want you to start your own company. So we have to be like, what is he talking about to us about this being new? So we can get into this move of God, this outpouring of great grace, because it's great grace because of the resurrection. And then there's some in the body of Christ that need a spanking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Enough said. And so they need to repent and get with the program here. Let's get on and get into prayer groups. And mm-hmm. the other thing, have you noticed how, because of our situation in 2020, now we have these house churches. I knew back in I can tell you, in the late 1980s, I told my husband, I would tell him different people, I said, we're going to have house churches. And I said, it'll be in my lifetime, too. I'll see it.
Wow.
I knew what was coming down the pipe. I knew. I said, we're going to do this. But what is really cool is back in the 60s, that's what we did with the Baptists. We had these little cottage prayer meetings. They were beautiful. Even though we did it, you know, denominational wise, it was precious. And I could see that being done again in this spirit-filled movement that we're in. So then we come to Jonah. When Jonah went, you know, the guys on the ship was the first one. This is going to be the first group of people. Because we're going to have some big bumps in the road. Some of them, we're going to be okay. Those of us that want, you know, you stay in Goshen, you stay under the blood. Because, in fact, on the Hebrew calendar, that's what we're all doing today. That's what Joshua, according to the Hebrew calendar, he crossed over the River Jordan today. And that's when the lamb was slain in Exodus 12. So we're at a very important time right now. But what they begin to see, what began to happen is we got to see, wait a minute, we're changing. So Jonah, their ship was going to go down. This is what's going to happen. Men's heart failing them for fear. They're going to get scared, and they're going to call out to that God they've been serving, that money God, those wooden gods. And I've seen plenty of them in foreign countries I've been in. And they're going to like go, hey, dude, this is not working. So they're going to come, and they're going to come to Jonah, to the prophets, to all of us, and they're going to say, tell us about your God. I tried this, this, and this, mm-hmm. and this, and it's not working. So the guys on the boat finally figured out, if we want this storm to stop, we're going to have to talk to the God. So then Jonah went from there. Then he ended up in Nineveh. Well, those were mean people, bad people. And so, I mean, how would you like? And those were people that had hurt his people. They were not nice people, evil, like we can't even comprehend that kind of evil. So he went there, but they had enough sense to know when this eclipse, because they said there was an eclipse in, mm-hmm. they understood, hey, like somebody's talking to us. And so the people started repenting, the king started repenting, the whole thing changed. It bought them 80 years. So when I had my birthday, that's what I asked the Lord for. I said, I'm asking you for 80 years for our nation.
Yes.
That's what I want to see. I want to see all categories of us repent. People don't understand repentance. It's so simple. It's just like, I've been a jerk, Lord. Like, fix me. Help me. Get me thinking straight. And help me to do what I need to do. Because that's where your destiny is. That's the only place you're ever going to be happy, is right when you're in the middle of that destiny. And that's what happened to Jonah. I mean, like, he was running the other direction. He went west instead of east, but which a lot of us have been doing that. But, you know, you just finally go, like, you know more than I do. And so that's what has to happen in our nation. We got to have that category happen. But those of us in the church, we got to be ready for this, because we've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to give to them. We got to have something. We got to have something more than Sunday school lessons. We got to have something
so true.
That, We got to have some real stuff. And like when it comes down to really bad stuff, if, you know, if the enclave and things like that starts happening, we have stuff popping up here, there, and the other place. I mean, we've already had riots, and looks like we might have some more. I'm believing we can change a bunch of it, but we're going to be able, if you say stop in the name of Jesus, you're going to have to know that you've got authority in the name of Jesus, and you've got authority by the power. It's not just something you're popping off.
That's why this book is so important, understanding the authority that we walk in, which takes us right to this. Because when I read this book for the first time, Ginger, I was like, everybody needs to read this book, whether somebody's been a Christian all their life, if they've been through ministry school, if they're a pastor, if they are brand new to the faith, every person needs this book. And it's a 31-day devotional. So when God had you write this in the 90s, but you didn't release it until recently, because he had you wait and hold on to it. Because didn't he give you a word, Ginger, about when you were, he said, these words, in your latter day years, hardship and difficulties would transpire throughout the world. And so he had you write this book so that when the time came, people would be equipped. Can you share that?
Yeah. And he told me I held on to that. I mean, you can't even imagine what I've been through all these years. But I held on to that because in 91, when he told me that, he said, okay, now is it, I'll tell you when. And he said, when you see everything starting to come in a bad way, he said, this will be the one weapon, the one that is going to be able to change things for people, because that's where that the rubber meets the road. Because when Jesus was on the cross, and we know Corinthians 2 says that if Satan would have known what was going to happen, he wouldn't have crucified Christ. So he's not very smart. So thank God for that.
Yes.
But God tells us ahead of time. But when he took Jesus's life, Jesus's blood started to speak. And just think, his blood is speaking right in Israel. That's my prayer for Israel, that they can hear the blood of Jesus speaking mercy, not vengeance. And Stacy, how much blood do we have in the last 2,000 years on the whole face of the earth screaming vengeance?
All of the abortions, everything that's happened, all of the wars,
but
everything.
Jesus' blood. I'm telling you, Hebrews 12, 24, 25, it says, refuse him not that speaks, yet still speaks, and his blood is speaking mercy. So God told me, he said, when these things start happening, then people are going to need this. And I've been confronted with demons before. I mean, I'm talking about real ones, like when you can see with your eyeballs wide open. And all I've said is the blood, the blood, the blood. And I've been taken places with the Lord in different places in prayer, and I knew the power of the blood. And so I'm telling you, this is what we're going to have for right now, because it's going to help change. If we can't stop some things, it can stop some things in our life. Some things can be stopped in our life, and things can be changed in our life. So we're at the right place at the right time. But we know the power of the blood. You should hear testimonies from people in Nigeria. It's one of the places I went to several times. They understand the power of the blood when those people are marching through the, you know, woods, coming in there with machetes and, you know, rubber tires and going to burn them up and everything. They can pass. There's testimony after testimony. They can pass right through groups of people that are doing these evil things. The blood, the blood, the blood. People need to know that, and we got to know it right now. But I think if we understood the power of the blood better, we could stop a bunch of this nonsense that the devil has planned.
I think this is huge. I want to, because this was so impactful on me, when you shared the story about the demon that showed up, and you were quoting scripture, you did everything, and it wouldn't leave. And then you were like, you know, you were praying, you know, to the God, okay, God, what do I do? And that's when the blood came out. Can you explain that? Because I think that's important for people to understand, because you could be quoting scripture, you could be doing all kinds of stuff, but it's the blood that brings the authority?
It was way back in the early 70s, and I was just learning about the power of the blood. We were in the denominational church, so I knew the blood of Jesus. We sang the song all the time. But I was in this situation. I'd slept 15 minutes, and all of a sudden this demon showed up. My feet hit the floor, and boy, I mean, like, you know, scriptures by the tongue was rolling out, in the name of Jesus, you know, whatever. And I was just like, and that dude just stood there. I was standing there, and he was standing there. I could describe in detail. Anyway, I was like, I didn't say it out loud, but I said it inside. I said, hey, Jesus, this is not working. I said, what am I wrong? I said, this guy's not budging. I wasn't scared. I was very logical in my mind. I said, this is not working. Did I get the wrong scripture? Do not have faith? What's going on? And so I tried a few hundred more scriptures, like a Gatling gun, you know. And so this guy still standing there, this demon, horrible demon, and just staring at me. And I thought, well, one of us is going to win. It's going to be me because I'm going to figure out how to do this. So I just stood there and I just took a deep breath. And it was probably 3 or 4 feet from me. It was really close. And anyway, all of a sudden, I can't even explain it, but at my feet, some kind of power started coming up out of my feet. And my mouth, when the power got to my mouth opened, and my mouth said, the blood. And that thing went like this. And I thought, hey, that worked. And I'm thinking the whole time. My brain is working. And I thought, I wonder why those scriptures didn't work. But that worked because your mind is that fast.
Sure.
You know, when you're in the spirit. And I said, the blood. I got real brave.
Confident.
You know, and I stood up straight. And that thing stood back 2 or 3 feet. And I thought, boy, this is working. I said, Jesus, I don't understand exactly what's going on, but I know what works. And then I said, the blood. And when I did, I started back. And that thing backed up. I could see him as plain because I have discerning of spirit. So I could see him just like I'm looking at you. I backed him up out of that house, out of that yard, off of that place. And then I sat down. I said, what was that, Lord? You got to teach me this. And that's when I began to understand the power of the blood. And that was like 71 or 72 back in those days. I thought, wow, what is this? And I knew it wasn't that the word didn't work. It was that Jesus was teaching me when you're confronted like that. And I have seen Satan, you just say the blood. You don't even have to say the blood of Jesus. Those guys know what you're saying. And I taught somebody that was that had been all kinds of witchcraft and stuff, and they'd high level stuff. Anyway, they got saved and demons kept aggravating them. And so they said, we're doing everything. And I said, listen, let me tell you, every time they wake you up, I said, just turn over and go, oh, the blood. And I said, turn back over and go back to sleep. And they started doing that. And do you know, pretty soon those demons stopped showing up and left her completely and totally alone. And I said, you don't even have to say the blood of Jesus. This works. And they said, are you sure it's going to work? You don't know. And I said, I don't have to know. I just know the blood works. It was amazing. She got totally and completely set free.
Praise the Lord.
Now, I know another person actually went to work at one of the main ministries out here. We did the same thing for her. She was all involved in stuff. She got born again. These demons were trying to do mean stuff to her. I said, just say the blood. You don't even have to know 100 scriptures. Just say the blood. And sure enough, she ended up getting totally set free, went to Bible school, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and went to work at a big ministry.
That is absolutely amazing. I love it. That's why this book, I knew when I read it the first time, I'm like, everybody needs to read it. So we ended up getting it for all of our intercessor team for the flyover. Our team is reading it. So everybody's reading it in the month of April together. And it is so powerful. Okay, so you can go to GingerZiegler.com. Ginger Ziegler. It's Z-I-E-G-L-E-R is how you spell her last name. GingerZiegler.com. You can get the books there. You can also get it on Amazon and all those different places, but I would recommend off of her website, GingerZiegler.com. But Ginger, it's a 31-day devotional. So I recommend people obviously read it once, but not just once. Continue reading through it, grasp it, get it, understand it, and take up the authority. And obviously the resources as well. So Colton has that there. You've got the prayers over our nation that people can do there. That's the first one there. You also have all of these other things, but the decrees, the blood decrees, that is another powerful thing as well. So as we, in the last couple of minutes before I let you go, what would be your final words that you would have for the body right now? We're in between this 40-day period of time. What would you be your recommendation to the body of Christ?
I want them to prepare and to prepare properly. I did bring my passion, Isaiah. One of the ways you can prepare, it only takes a couple of minutes a day. Just take Isaiah 11 out of the passion, read the footnotes, and just pray them. Don't read them. Pray them out loud and pray them over yourself. Because we cannot judge by the sight of our eyes nor the hearing of our ears. We cannot. There's total lies going on everywhere. So we've got to have the Spirit of Truth helping us. So that's how you prepare, because you're going to have to prepare with your family. You got to prepare emotionally. That's what this is going to do. You read it over and over. It's Proverbs. It's like Proverbs. You read it every day. You read it for years and years and years. And then the next thing is you've got to prepare financially. You've got to be smart about what's about to happen. You got to be at the right place. You got to make sure. People are asking me, should I sell my house? Should I move here? Should I do that? You really need to find out from God. And the biggest thing is you get in a group, a church, a prayer group that can pray prophetically, that understands. We have a group here. I have a group in here right now. That we are together, and you have a group, Stacy, and we have our church, and we're close. We're watching over each other, and our families are knitted together, because we got some days coming up. And I'm not talking about hoarding stuff and running and getting a bunch of toilet paper. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being smart, using wisdom. We got to have the Spirit of wisdom. That's what 11 is all about. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. With the Spirit of wisdom, we can maneuver through this, and we can change a bunch of stuff. We can stop a bunch of stuff, and we can alter a bunch of stuff. And I believe come November, we're going to change a bunch more things.
Yes. Amen. That is exactly right. Ginger, thank you so much for joining us today. I just love you. I appreciate you. And I'm so thankful for everything that you're doing to help to build the body of Christ so that we can save this country and this world. So we are so thankful for you.
Thank you so much. I'm very honored to be here today. Thank you. I love y'all.
This is a crazy time to be alive.
Well, just in our lifetime, it used to be where you'd hear your grandparents talk about how cheap gas was and stuff. And it was 75 years before, 50 years you know, before.
And so we've seen a lot of changes since Biden took office. $700 more a month
than what you needed in January of 21 when he took office.
You might hear these kind of things and think, oh, that's overwhelming. I can't control the government. I can't control what they're doing. I can't control the spending. But we can take care of ourselves.
You want to make sure that you're buying bullion from somebody that you can trust and someone that does not charge you a commission when you go to sell.
If there's going to be a commission, have it on the front end, not the back end when it skyrockets. And now you're like, oh my gosh, look at this big, huge commission I got to pay because it's on the back end before I sell it.
You can buy an ounce of silver for $23. So this is something everybody can get into. And if silver goes to $50, if it goes to $75, if it goes to $100, all of those profits are yours. And that's happening while the dollar is buying less and less at the actual grocery store.
So you can go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. Or to do the same thing, you can just call 720-605-3900.
If you want to do anything worthwhile in life, you've got to be hungry. It's better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have one than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. So every day I was working to develop myself. And that's what you must do.
I promise you one thing. You have never seen any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of the season.
Get in here! Hey, we got 30 minutes for the rest of our lives!
30 minutes
for the rest of our lives!
There were none before me, and there will be none after me. Therefore, that makes me the one and only. Young and single and love to mingle, certified, bona fide, and dubly qualified to bring you satisfaction, a whole lot of action. Look out, baby, I'm your love man. I was hungry. I was hungry. You gotta be hungry.
Hey, Flyover family, come join us June the 27th and 28th, 2024 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're going to be there with Clay Clark, an amazing group of individuals that have made such a difference in so many people's lives.
Do you want to increase your production in a job? Do you want to make more sales? Do you want to own your own business? Do you want to have breakthroughs financially? The key to that is knowledge.
Clay Clark is anointed to help people in business. We've watched him over the last couple of years, and we've been blown away. He's part owner of over 160 businesses, $2.4 billion in sales.
Before politics and the Great Reset came into Clay's life, he had the number one rated Apple podcast. And he interviewed people like Anthony Robbins, Seth Godin, the top authors, the top business minds in the world. At this specific event, there was an interesting cast of characters that come from gangs to American Idol.
Some of the guests that are going to be there: Michael Levine, Colton Dixon, Peter Tompkins, John Lee Dumas, Mondo de la Vega,
and Tim Tebow. They're there to share what they've done and their breakthroughs and what their story is. And then Clay lays his map of business success, calls the path for every person to follow.
So you may be sitting there thinking, okay, I get it. What do I have to do? Go to thrivetimeshow.com. When you get there, the tickets are $250 or whatever you can afford. Yes, you got that right. $250 or whatever you can afford. You can name your price. So there are no excuses. You have to join us there. There are only a few VIP tickets left. Like David said, special dinner and special time with the speakers. That is $500 why they last. So $500, only a few left if you want a VIP ticket. We want to meet these speakers as well. So we got VIP tickets.
I want to meet Tim Tebow.
I do too. The date is June the 27th and 28th, 2024 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Go to thrivetimeshow.com to get your tickets. For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.